Welcome to Deets and Geets, a pop culture podcast, giving you the deets, the pop culture happenings that pique our interest.
And the geets, the music and lyrics that fill up our weeks.
I'm Superstar Ugni.
And I'm LRK.
In this episode, we catch up on what we've been into so far this year, including the second iteration of Netflix's popular anthology series, Lust Stories.
Karan Johar's new Bollywood blockbuster, Rocky or Rani Ki Prem Kahani, or Rark PK.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
That's what I'm calling it.
The award-winning or the award-nominated drama Reservation Dogs.
And much more.
You don't want to talk about Made in Heaven?
Well, that's part of much more.
According to the script.
Okay. Made in Heaven Season 2.
And much more. Okay, so we had a longish episode about Lust Stories 2 that we did, was it last month?
Yeah. It has been like almost a month at this point.
Yeah. So, you know, for those who say we need to put out the episodes faster, we tried to do that. But the episode was just too long, and we tried to compare Lust Stories 1 and Lust Stories 2, and it got a little bit convoluted, I think.
Yeah, also, I don't feel super, like, strongly about either season, so it doesn't... Yeah, I feel like I'm not, like, inspired enough to make that be, like, a super long episode.
Yeah, basically, it came down to first Lust Stories, 2018, was it?
18 or 19.
Let's see, maybe it's 18. In the notes. Yeah, 2018, we liked, like, 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And Lust Stories 2023, we just like 1 out of 4.
Yeah, I think they all were like okay, but yeah, the second Konkana's one, right? That's the one that, yeah.
Do we even want to like summarize?
I guess like the only kind of just catch-all thing I would say about it, like, yeah, I don't really think we need to summarize each of the films or anything.
Yeah.
But I think I would say I would have expected like more kind of unique storylines this time compared to the first one, and less like relying on the shock value of Lust Stories. But I feel like it actually kind of went the other way. Like I thought the first set of stories was more like each of the stories was very different, and it was not very into like skin show and stuff, even though it's called Lust Stories, but it was really, you know, it's much more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the second part was more like it just felt more unnecessarily like a lot of skin show, and that too through like kind of a gross like male gaze in mm-hmm. in some cases. So yeah, it didn't appeal to me as much, but if they make another anthology, I'll watch it. So I didn't hate it.
But I don't know. From what I've seen, it just seems underbaked.
Yeah.
Half baked, not fully baked.
Also, yeah, like why so much? And when we first recorded it, we talked more about this. But you know, it's great to see stories told about all types of people in all walks of life, but I feel like suddenly when it comes to Lust Stories, maids are so overrepresented. And yeah. It's like, okay, I mean, that, yeah, why don't we see a movie made by Zoya Akhtar that's about a maid, like that's the protagonist of a Zoya Akhtar movie or a Karan Johar movie or whatever. I don't think KJ made one that was involved in maid, but yeah, and it can be, you know, any genre, rom-com, whatever, like but suddenly it's like less story, and it's always kind of like gritty or kind of sad or whatever, you know, and that's where you see like maids, and it's like, all right, I mean, what does that say about society and art and everything? But yeah, just an observation.
What were we watching years ago that had like sort of the maid's despair? I don't know if it was domestic abuse or whatever, but...
Oh, Vida de Wedding.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that too, because it's, you know, about four, like, you know, upper middle class, educated women, and, like, you know, it's feminist in that world, which is fine. Like, I don't think everything needs to be, like, you know, intersectional and stuff. Like, it can be a light whatever thing about privileged women.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, why do they have to have that, like, little side plot where, yeah, the maid is facing domestic violence, and then that's kind of made into, like, a joke. Like, she's like, oh, forget about my situation. This other thing is more important. And it's like, all right.
It was like, yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, like, how that played on the page. You know, like, if people were, like... No, I don't even know how you could sort of try to make that seem as you're flipping something on its head. That's just pretty much being tone deaf. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to play devil's advocate, but I can't think of any way that that's subversive or anything. Okay. Let's see. So we're done with lust stories then.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say about it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel kind of bad for the me that sat there editing all that. Alright, so our daughter, who hasn't been on an episode for a while, if you've been listening to the earlier episodes, you would have heard her screaming in her high chair. But now she can form sentences, so she'll help us with the titles. Okay, Chef, what's her name? DJ Chef Ishleen?
I think depending on context, if she's going to be talking about food, she can be Chef Ishleen, and if she's talking about, like, deeds and geets, she can be DJ Ishleen.
Okay. Alright, DJ Ishleen, take it away.
Where's the missing dogs?
I'm super proud of this series. I had high hopes from the beginning, and all the folks involved have knocked it out of the park. For the uninitiated, this show is the coming-of-age story of four Indigenous teens, and it was shot on location in the capital of the Muscogee Nation. The first couple of episodes, I personally thought were a little one-note, but they quickly get over that, and the show reveals itself to be powerful, insightful, funny, endearing, all in the same episode, very easily. And it's a testament to how stellar a show featuring Native folk can be with an all-Native writer's room. So definitely worth a watch. Season 3, the final season, is streaming now on FX, I think. And we've only gotten 2 or 3 episodes in this season.
Yeah, we've just watched 2. I think a third one is out, so we should watch it, though.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a great show, and it really holds up over the seasons, too, so that's also nice, because some shows, I feel like I was really into it in the first season, and then somewhere along the way, I just, like, lose interest, but this has just consistently been so good, and they get into, like, you know, like, there's a common, there's, like, you know, the overall thread of the story, but then they get experimental in a good way. Sometimes it can go wrong when shows do that, but there's episodes that are just, like, kind of out there. Like, it'll just be focused on one character who might not even be, like, one of the four main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just have them, like, there was one episode where, like, the cop, what did he have, like, shrooms or something?
Yeah.
And then he just, like, started seeing things and, like, found some, like, white cult in, like, the middle of nowhere.
And he teamed up with another secondary character, one of the white guys from the junkyard, I think.
That's right. Yeah, so they have, like, just really sometimes funny, sometimes absurd kind of subplots, and sometimes really heavy ones, too. But then they always kind of bring it back and make it just a really delightful show. So yeah, I really like it.
I feel like it's surreal, but in its own universe, it's logical.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Exactly.
Made in Heaven.
So we watched the first episode of the second season together. I liked it. I thought it was a little bit preachy. Like, it kind of almost felt like they had read all the critiques of Indian matchmaking, and they're like, okay, let's address, you know, these critiques through, you know, our show, which also is about like very rich people having these elaborate weddings, Indian weddings. So the first episode takes on colorism. I think that, you know, of course it's great to do that, and that's something we've talked about a lot, that like, when are they finally gonna like not just kind of like let it be a norm that like, oh, fair is beautiful, but actually call it out. So they did, but I feel like it just was too blatantly done, almost like the Bollywood movies where like the criminal at the end has to explain like everything they did to like
inspectors.
This
is how I did it.
Exactly. So yeah. It just felt too spelt out, and I think they could have just made that be part of that story, but not like, instead of the story being about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you watched another episode?
Yeah, I watched another, and then I'm in the middle of the third. So the second one took on like domestic violence. The third, it's about like a couple that's like cheating, and like two people are engaged, and it turns out that their parents, like the one of their mothers is like having an affair with the other's father, and so it's like a whole like awkward situation. The season is still, you know, interesting, and then you still have Tara and Arjun. Wait, what's the character's name? Not Arjun. I think the actor's name is Arjun. Anyway, like the two wedding planners, like they have their things going on in their lives that they're still grappling with. So, and then Jazz and Mini SRK, Kabir. those characters are still, you know, they still have their arcs and everything, and so it's good. But I just feel like this might be one where they need to, I mean, I don't know what the plan is, if they're going to keep having more seasons, but I feel like toning down the preachiness and just focusing on like, just being unapologetic about the world they're in, you know, like, yes, they are rich Indians in Delhi. I think they should just focus on that, and then naturally things come up in that world that are like messed up that they can make sure to call out as they go along. But I just don't want it to be like this episode is taking this issue on sort of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think it's a natural progression of what was set up in the first season. So it's, I don't like it when they go from one season to the next, and like the second season they feel like they have to do it bigger and bolder, and the stakes are like super high. I feel like I enjoy that it continues, you know, the sort of vibe of the show is the same. I mean, I agree with the preachiness that you brought up, but as far as just like the character arcs, I feel like it's a good progression.
Velma.
Yeah, so we were late to jump on the whole Velma hate unites the internet craze, but we were pretty tied up with other things at the time. So we're here now to talk about Velma, and it has been renewed for a second season.
Yay!
supposed to happen early 2024, but with the writer's strike, I don't know if that will happen. And I stand in solidarity with the writers. I mean, I feel like they've come out with some great content over the years.
Yeah, especially like everything I've watched this year has been just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have only seen maybe like two episodes, and then passively walking by whenever you were watching it. I didn't see anything that was worth all the hate. It seems like any other, you know, like adult-oriented animated series, you know, with the crass humor. I don't know. People are saying like, oh, it's, you know, so dirty or raunchy, or they shouldn't have done that. But Family Guy is out there. American Dad is out there. I haven't seen Bob's Burgers. I don't know if that show is out there, but The Simpsons, that can get pretty out there too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was any different in that sense. If you don't like Mindy, then just say you don't like Mindy, but don't say the show is like, oh, that's woke trash or whatever.
Yeah, just so much unnecessary pearl clutching from all ends. You know, it's like people thinking that it's like so offensive because it shows like teenagers. Like the first episode kind of, you know, has all these like high school girls in a locker room talking about like, oh, isn't it like, isn't it funny how whenever like there's like in like slasher movies how like girls always have to be unnecessarily naked, and then they, you know, they show them being unnecessarily naked while they're saying that. Yeah. I mean, that's what satire is, right? And it's a freaking cartoon, so like, yeah,
they're covered by like bubbles or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I don't think they were like even really naked, but yeah, they were like, yeah, covered by like something in the shop. But yeah, I mean, come on, that's the sense of humor of the show. It's like, it again kind of spells things out too much, but it's like talking about tropes and then like embodying the trope while doing that.
So I mean I
had a fun time watching it. Like, I think it was a unique twist on the Scooby-Doo characters and giving them like a backstory and showing the different ways that they've like bonded with each other, and making Daphne be like the cool popular girl and having her own like history with Velma, and then Fred being like this privileged little white boy. Yeah, people being offended at that was just like ridiculous too. So yeah, people from all sides were offended. Of course, there's like the people who don't want anything against, like, or what they perceive as being against like white people or boys or men or whatever. And then people who like South Asians who think Mindy is not progressive enough or is not like a good representative of South Asians, which I've felt that way in a lot of ways too. But I also feel like it's a very heavy burden to put on
right,
one
so
person.
She can't do anything? I mean, what other options does she have? I mean, I guess maybe just not be herself?
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's so much humor revolving around, like, women feeling self-conscious about their bodies. Like, that's Amy Schumer's entire brand of humor, which I know some people don't, many people may or may not like her, but if you like her sense of humor, then Mindy Kaling is just taking that same idea of like being, you know, body conscious, and then also adding in being brown and all the tropes that come with brownness, like hairy and whatever.
Yeah.
Because people were mad, like, oh, why is she, like, you know, perpetuating the stereotype of brown not being attractive and stuff. And it's like, well, she's commenting on that being how people are made to feel. So I don't know. It's
probably her experience.
Yeah, it's her experience. And I just think that some of the critiques were just ridiculous. Also, like, you know, I haven't seen the Barbie movie yet, but a lot of the same people who were so mad at Velma are loving Barbie, and I'm like, how exactly does that work? Because from what I can tell of Barbie, it's kind of, and people are calling it a feminist movie, and I'm like, well, if Barbie is a feminist movie, then I think Velma is a feminist show, right?
Yeah, because Barbie is under Mattel, which, you know, is like a big corporation,
yeah,
funding this movie, who I'm pretty sure if there was anything that was objectionable to them, they would not allow it.
Right. So, like, yeah, even when they are, like, you know, maybe the movie does make fun of the fact that it's been owned by, like, men dictating how women are supposed to look and stuff, but it's still making them money. Whatever they're doing, it's making them money, right? Yeah. So, and then it is all, like, thin women in Barbie, as far as I can tell, right? Like, thin, stereotypically attractive women, but who feel, like, burdened by patriarchy and stuff, which, of course, all women do, even if they're that. But it's like, okay, so you have this, like, blonde, thin, white woman has Barbie, and this is like supposed to be a great feminist film, but then you can't have Velma be like a brown, like thick, whatever woman. I don't know. It's just, I don't get like people.
Yeah. Because yeah. It's all these euphemisms. People don't. They don't really like woke trash. I see that all over the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you say what you really want to say then? You know, I mean, of course, you know, you'll be taken to task for it, but is it because you just don't like certain types of people? You know, whatever that may be, if they're female, brown, heavyset. I don't know. Just, I feel like people just throw these terms out there and then like dog whistle to other people. It's like, why don't you say what you really feel about it and then let's talk about it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't love or hate Velma. I didn't understand all the hate for it personally. I think if the other shows that I mentioned before can exist, this show can exist.
Yeah. Yeah, people feeling like they had to go out of their way to like give it low ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. I mean, to me, that makes the show a success. Like, you know, if you're getting people taking that kind of effort,
yeah,
whether in a very strong, in a very positive or very negative way, like, yeah, you've gotten people to pay attention to your show, so that's a success. I mean, if people really hated it, genuinely and without needing to like make a point about that, they would just not watch it, or they would they would just like not watch it and be like, haha, this sucks, but they wouldn't go like take the effort to give it low ratings and all that.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of people who had those low ratings like watched the whole season?
I highly doubt it, because yeah, when you saw like the screenshots people had, it was like just ridiculous out of context screenshots that like didn't understand humor, like, and this also happened with Never Have I Ever, like the South Asian hate of Mindy is like another level, but people were taking screenshots of Never Have I Ever and showing it to be like Islamophobic or different things, and it's like, okay, well, you have to look at it in context of who the character is, and is what the character says, what the show says, is morally right? Like, if it's not, then you have to understand, like, this character is flawed and they say things like this.
Yeah.
And so, just things like that. So I think people did not watch it or have no, like, media literacy if they did watch it.
Google Animal Circle.
So I don't know if you've been watching a lot of YouTube. I know you're on the X or the Twitties or whatever whatever it's called now. But I've been watching more motorcycle videos since I've gotten a motorcycle. I've had my license for forever, but haven't owned a bike. And one of my favorites is Doodle on a Motorcycle. That's D-O-O-D-L-E on a motorcycle. And I'm not sure why it's Doodle. I don't know if that's her nickname or whatever, because she's like short and petite, skinny. I don't know what exactly a doodle is anyway. But she's quit her job and become a full-time motorcycle YouTuber. So I didn't know that was like a subculture of... I mean, there's all avenues of YouTube, so I guess why not, like, motorcycle YouTubers? There's game YouTubers, what's that, not Asper, CRISPR? No, asthma? It's what,
Oh, like when people just open things and like touch foil and stuff
and like whisper,
some kind of sensory thing.
Even that, what is that, Asimov?
I forget what the term is.
Anyway, she, I like her videos over other ones because she doesn't pretend to know anything, and it's also interesting because she's been riding for like 5 years, so she has some skill, but she's sort of doing challenging things. So she's, like I said, petite and not much body weight, but she rides big bikes. And she does that because since this is her full-time job, she like travels a lot. So she needs like a bigger bike because of the bigger tank and because it's more room to carry things and storage and all that stuff. So it's just interesting seeing like her journey, and then now she's branched out and actually visiting interesting places along her travels. So I don't know. I think it's I like her channel. So I've been watching a lot more of that, and it kind of makes me want to be a YouTuber. But we don't have a lot of time, and I don't want to have to think about content in order to pay bills. That's stressful. So yeah. More power to YouTubers out there. I mean, we come out with an episode once every 2 months now.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah. And then not only that, I mean, we've done maybe 3 videos for the podcast, but mostly it's audio and then, you know, accompanying graphics, mm-hmm. rather than video us that we then have to edit.
Right. Yeah, that is a lot of work. You really have to commit to it full time. It makes sense that you get a job.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would enjoy doing this as much if it was a job. Like, if you had to like sit down and take notes, you can't just like, you know, we watch a lot of shows, but if I had to like just think of content constantly, that'd be annoying.
Yeah, and think about like what's gonna get better engagement and stuff.
Yeah,
because then that will like, you can't even always just do what you want. It has to be like, well, what's gonna get people to watch it. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I care if people listen to the show, but if they don't, we would still do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Doodle on a Motorcycle. That's what I've been watching on YouTube. Do you watch YouTube anymore?
I do. I mean, I just kind of have like something on in the background a lot when I'm working. So lately, since there's been like really good Bollywood content, and there will be further up and coming, I've just been excited and watching like Film Companion to watch like interviews of stars and like reviews and stuff. And also Sucharita Tyagi, who she used to work for Film Companion, but she has her own channel now. But yeah, I enjoy watching their content and their interviews.
Hmm. Okay. Did you have any questions?
I didn't write it here, but yeah. So, so just a quick note on Rark PK. Rocky or Rani PK. So I hadn't been to the movie theater since COVID, except one time Superstar Agni and I went to watch the second Black Panther. But we went on like the Wednesday.
You can't say the second Black Panther. You have to say the name.
Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever!
Yeah, so we went on like a Wednesday like afternoon, and we were the only people in the theater, so and that was deliberate. Like, we wanted to see it on the big screen, but without the possible COVID exposure.
Yeah.
But with Rock PK, I was like, I'll get COVID for this one. yeah, I mean, it was totally worth the going to the theater. It's because I had heard a lot of good things about it. I went to see it on the second weekend that it was out. And I had heard so much good stuff about it, like throughout the first week, including from a lot of influencers. So I was just wondering, like, okay, are people just being like, you know, paid off to say something good about it? So I went in kind of skeptical. I was like, well, let me see for myself if this is really worth the hype. But I think it is. Like, I think Keijo just completely hit the nail on the head and just, and he just got every note right about this movie. So it's a full masala entertainer. It takes you through all the emotions, good music, good choreography. It has the nostalgic element. It has two you know, older stars, Dharmendra and Shabana Azmi. And I think they were supposed to have a movie together, like, you know, decades ago, and it never happened. So this is kind of their first movie together. and they have like their own romance side plot, which is connected with the romance of Rocky and Rani. And it's just a really good, sweet movie. Also, you know, making certain somewhat preachy statements. But I think it did it well. I think it's just a really great movie, and I think it was one of the few that is really worth the hype it's getting.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just glad for the return of big Bollywood, like big nepotistic Bollywood. Mm. And I'm totally like not against nepotism in this industry. Like, and it's funny because I think Keijo had been kind of down on himself for the last couple of years, because I mean, he's had heat on him for various things, but one of them is nepotism. He's been called out for like always kind of giving the limelight to Star Kids. And then the very first song of this movie has like 4 Star Kids in it, in cameos. So, whatever, more power to him.
I feel like, in a way, yeah, but also some directors just like working with certain people.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think if the kids have grown up in that world and they already know how things work, and they've seen, you know, they've, like, I wouldn't say it's in their blood because it's in their, like, upbringing. Like, they've been in that, like, they've seen how their parents have done it and everything. And, yeah, so I know that they have like an immense privilege and everything, but if they do a good job, if they, if people enjoy seeing them on screen and they're good at their craft and they put in the work, like I don't think it's a bad thing for them to get some limelight. And of course, other people should too. And Bollywood is you know, growing in many different directions, and so it's not just this type of movie anymore. But I do like this type of movie too. But yeah, I mean, there should be a chance for everyone, but I still like Bollywood. Like, I still like this type of Bollywood too, and I'm glad that it's still here.
Mm. Well, would you consider Doom to be part of this type of Bollywood?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I do miss, yeah, I miss that series. I don't know if they're going to bring it back, if they're going to have the same protagonist, which I hope they do.
Yeah, I heard there is going to be Doom 4, and I heard it's going to be with Ranveer, but I don't know if that's true. Because
that
Ranveer,
would be cool.
Yeah, and because Ranveer also is going to be the new era of Dawn, which people have had very strong emotions about, like, because the OG Dawn is Amitabh Bachchan. I feel like no one can be Amitabh Bachchan.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I feel like Dawn has a certain level of cool, and it's... Ranveer's like Tom Cruise. You know, he's, like, very energetic.
Yeah.
And I feel like Dawn is... I can't think of it like a Hollywood equivalent, but... He has like a, he's more cool about things.
SRK, I was very skeptical about too.
Wait, I don't remember, no, I didn't finish his Dawn, but wasn't he like a little hammy?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny because the people who are mad about Ranveer becoming the new Dawn are mad because he's not SRK.
Wait, what?
And I'm like, wait a minute, but nobody is Big B. So, I don't know what you guys are on about, because if SRK can be Dawn, who is a... SRK is a total ham.
Yeah.
If he can be Dawn, then I don't know why Ranveer can't be Dawn.
Like, yeah, in that sense, yeah, I agree. I don't know. Just make, like, Big B come back.
Exactly.
As Dawn.
That's what I was saying. I think it should just be Big B again.
Yeah, why... I mean, why is he getting old man roles? He can be, like, Harrison Ford is still playing Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe like SRK's generation will be the one that like into their old age is still doing, you know, Pathaan and Tiger and stuff, because that's what they are still doing, the Khans.
Yeah.
So they might still be doing it when they're Big B's age, but yeah.
Who's the director for the newer?
Oh, Farhan Akhtar.
Oh. Maybe I'll send them a letter. A typewritten letter.
Saying that they should bring Big B back?
Yeah. Speaking of which, action movies.
Action movies.
So we've seen a good, decent amount of action movies in 2023. John Wick 4, Extraction franchise.
Heart of Stone.
Heart of Stone. And some Marvel stuff thrown in there. Also, was it Gray Man, Bullet Train?
Those, I think, might have been last year.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
I had written in my notes this whole thing, which I'm not actually going to go into. John Wick 4 being sort of the recent invigorator of Hollywood sort of gun-fu, which is like kung fu, but with guns. Mm. Because, you know, of course, that has existed before John Wick, which came out in 2014. But I feel like movies these days are sort of emulating that. And even like Heart of Stone had a little bit of that in there with her fight scenes. I'm enjoying action movies again. For a while, I had kind of fallen off because it's too much. People are doing like more of their own stunts now, and the shots are more you can actually see the action rather than jump cuts where somebody throws a punch, they cut to like a different, you know, angle, and somebody gets punched in the face, and it's too jumpy and it doesn't feel like I think that happened last time. Sorry, surprise alarm.
Welcome to D's and Geets.
I revisited Raid franchise. I don't think you've seen that one. Mm-mm. Indonesian martial arts. I forget who the lead actor is. But speaking of John Wick, so this series does have some gunplay, but it's more melee based. But the scenes are not, the shots aren't jump cuts. I mean, it's very much, not all one shot, but you can actually see the actors doing the stunts and the fighting. And this one particularly, it's an interesting story and then just amazing fighting in it. I mean, not totally realistic, but for an action movie, I think it's great. And you can tell they thought about, just every aspect of it. It's kind of like, also the camera work is awesome. Extraction 2, I think the camera was actually another character in it, just because of how it moved and in and out of the action. So, yeah, I don't know if you would like the Raid series. It's sort of... Yeah, I mean, it's not like the deepest storyline. You might enjoy it. I don't know. I shouldn't say.
Yeah, action could go either way for me. In general, it's not my genre, but there's certain movies I enjoy, but usually there's some other reason that I like it. Like, the Marvel movies that I like more are the ones that have some... usually some sort of, like, immature teen plot. Like I like Spider-Man and like Ms. Marvel. And so, yeah, if there's some kind of just like, some other story that goes with it. I like Extraction also, both of them, but the first part more because it was like set in India and Bangladesh. And so I liked the way that story was told, because a lot of Hollywood movies, when they're based in South Asia, like there's a certain like look to it, and then they have like MIA music or something like that in the background, or like something just overly romanticized. But this felt like it actually had South Asian people like involved in the production, like it and actors that like I've even seen before and stuff, so it felt more like they took some effort to like really localize it.
Okay, so that does it for this episode. You can catch us at DeetsandGeets.com and on Apple Podcasts. Just search for Deets and Geets. You can catch us on the socials at Deets and Geets. So, until next time, this has been
Deets and Geets.
Deets and Geets.